You're listening to episode 89 of the ESL Teaching Podcast. A few years ago, my partner and I sat down to brainstorm how we can engage the families of our students more. We work in the so-called lower incidence district where the number of EL students makes up less than 5% of the school's population. And it does feel like there's always something missing in communication and community engagement. So we came up with this idea to invite parents of our EL students to meet us in an informal setting. We called it simply Coffee and Conversation, bought some coffee, tea, and desserts, and settled in the library at one of our schools. No actual concrete plan, just to see who will show up and go from there. The way it evolved over the next couple of years has taught us so much, and that is exactly what I want to share in this episode with you. The lessons we learned and are implementing, we can put in three categories, all of which begin with the letter C, and they are very simple yet essential in building an inclusive community in your school and district. Are you ready to hear them? Let's get started. Hello and welcome to the ESL Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Yeva Grosslis, otherwise known as Simply Yeva, and I am so thankful that you tuned in. I'm looking forward to sharing both my knowledge and experience on this podcast, as well as that of my fellow teachers. Hello, hello, everyone. I recently went to a fantastic training where the presenter talked about how we can build partnerships with our families. Many schools strive to build and maintain partnerships with families because we all know that a student's education depends on so many factors, including communication between the decision-making adults in their life. The presenter shared a rubric from a book which outlined different types of school and community partnerships that ranged from completely closed off, for example, schools with very controlled communication, such as the belief that parents cannot be bothered with information from the school and that the curriculum is too complex for them to understand and therefore we're going to do our thing and let them be, to schools that were progressively more inclusive in both building relationships, addressing differences, advocacy, and the like. But most schools do not fit just one bill. They might be open to communication, but not entirely sure how to address cultural differences, for example, or be open to supporting advocacy, but the system for actual building relationships needs improvement. All that to say, when it comes to our multilingual families, as with everything, it takes on another layer. For example, building a process for hiring translators or getting rid of assumptions that the families will implicitly know how to use technology to fill out school documents or where to find information and to be actively involved in their child's education in a way that it is understood here in America. In our schools, the number of EL students is not huge compared to larger districts, as I already mentioned. And there are bigger, I'm sure, in the state and around the country. And this comes with its own set of challenges. First, the multilingual learners are very, very dispersed between different classrooms and buildings. And it's not always easy to create a schedule of EL support and to collaborate with teachers. And second, when the students register, they go through the same flow of registration, and we don't always meet the family right away and don't know what their needs are, which puts a complication in getting to know them and understanding where the student is coming from. So once we have identified this latter point, we worked hard to ensure that whenever someone who is even a potential student of ours registers, that we're invited into the registration meeting so we can make the connection with the family and obtain all the relevant information that might not be visible in home language survey alone. But still, something was missing. It might sound cliche, but Nike's slogan, "Just do it," is almost like my life's motto. As a person, and again, there's different people, but me, sometimes it's hard for me to map out all the steps before taking action, and therefore, I do have to take action to find the steps. Another phrase that resonates with me is do it scared. This is a little bit more difficult to implement because the scared part can get the better of me sometimes. But when I go back to just do it, then I have no other place to hide, right? So this was exactly the situation with our coffee and conversation, which my colleague and I concocted a couple of years ago. I personally know what it feels like to move to another country as an adult. I know how lost a person can be when they're asked to fill out all the paperwork and how especially daunting it is when they're asked to use technology and a language that they may not be familiar with. I moved to the United States with my son, who was 6 years old at the time. I had two huge advantages that not all of my families have. I spoke English very well. After all, my undergrad degrees in English and literature, so I would hope so. And I also had a driver's license and knew how to drive right off the bat. My son, on the other hand, was only able to say hello and goodbye in English. So when we registered him for first grade, that was the first time I learned about the EL program. And honestly, I didn't even understand quite how it works. But even with my command of the English language, I had no idea about the system. He would come home with folders full of forms I had to sign, and I didn't understand half of the forms, the reason for half of the forms. They contained fancy names of activities or expected events, words like release form, which I took literally. Who am I releasing again? I had to figure out, what was our insurance? Did we have a primary doctor? When do we get those? What is reduced lunch? Do we qualify for it? And on and on and on. And I'll be honest, because I had no idea what those forms meant, I just ignored them for a few days until he brought the forms again. But the point being, registering for school and not knowing the expectations are quite uncomfortable. And that aside, I also didn't have any friends. I had no idea how people made friends here. What do people do? Where do they go? If you're not familiar with a small state of New Hampshire, it is pretty much woods with a few towns here and there. I might be exaggerating this a little bit, but coming from a city in Europe, it seemed like a completely different world where we had to drive everywhere and nobody seemed to walk except for those determined to engage in very vigorous exercise. Luckily, my husband is from here. He suggested we sign up my son for Cub Scouts, and that is how I met other families with children the same age, and we are friends to this day. But I'll take you there. Imagine you don't speak much English. Imagine everyone in the family is not from here. Imagine you come to school and the staff is talking at you as if you know what they're saying. Imagine trying to figure out transportation, school lunches, after-school activities, and seasonality of sports. Imagine trying to learn the healthcare system and be a productive member of your new society to prove that you are here and ready to tackle whatever you need to. We know quite a few of our families felt that way, and it was this haphazard meeting in isolation from others that made us come up with a very basic, very simple format that we hoped would take off. Well, as they say, simplicity is genius, which opened up the very first step, or the first C, if you will, connection. We set up our coffees and cookies in the library and we waited. At first, one family showed up and then second and the third. I'm going to backtrack a little bit. We did send out an email to our families. So whoever got the email, that's how they knew about this event. We sat down around the table and just talked. Everyone shared where they're from, how long they'd been here, asked questions, talked about intricacies and misunderstandings of the English language, shared about their language, and simply made connections. You could see the relief in their faces and the energy of excitement in the room. I'm not alone. There are other people like me here. And connection was made, and that was the most important thing of this whole new endeavor, because it also led to the other two C's, which are community and continued support. Even though we didn't know what we were doing in the beginning, we had an inkling this was a good idea and the start of something that we have always wanted: a stronger community for multilingual students and parents alike, for our families to know they're welcome, to know we are here to support them, and we are here to help them find people with similar experiences. Some families have been coming every single meeting, looking forward to it, while others whenever they can. For some, this became the event they were looking forward to, and they have now become so much more comfortable with living here, the school system and life, that if they have friends or acquaintances from their culture moving into the area, they are now the advocates and are able to point them to the resources so that they don't feel as lost and alone. We always extend invitations to our administration and regular education teachers of our students to further our mission to build connections and community. It's not just us, it's all of us, all the teachers, a village. In addition, we encourage families to come with little ones, and our high school students can choose to babysit during the event. It is a fluid, ever-involving process, and honestly, as much as we wish we have had a steady schedule for these meetings, it's not always possible. But knowing that they will be happening at least once a quarter, our goal is once a month, you know, but life happens. And now that the community is aware of who we are and what this is all about, word has started to spread. I think my favorite part of this whole connection, community, and continued support model is that it has evolved naturally with just a simple idea and nothing forced. And one of the most important lessons we learned, also going back to the slogan, just do it, is that because as EL teachers, we are more familiar with the challenges and cultures of our students, we must step out of our comfort zone and lead the way for all of the others involved in their education. Especially when we are a lower incidence district, our job is to educate and empower all the other teachers. And that is all for today. You know I'm on the mission to reach as many teachers as possible and help them to discover their own power in reaching multilingual learners in the classroom. And this episode was about that, because without connection, you can't reach anybody. As always, I want to hear from you. What do you do to engage your EL community? Send me a message on Instagram and let's chat. Thank you for listening, and until next time. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard today, be sure to do two things. First, make sure to subscribe to the ESL Teaching Podcast so you don't miss an episode. And second, leave a positive review wherever you listen, on iTunes, Spotify, or any other platform. Positive reviews will improve the chances of this podcast to be discovered in the feed and help our fellow ESL ELL teachers. And of course, there's a third thing. If you aren't following me on social media yet, come join me on Instagram at SimplyYevaESL, Facebook SimplyYeva, or connect with me on my website, simplyyeva.com. Thanks again, and until next time.